Up All Night with Rod Sharp.
On the UK's live news and sport.
5 Live.
Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on life's gristle, that grumble, give a whistle. And this'll help things turn out for the best. And always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life.
Well, it sounds as if audiences on Broadway will soon be hearing that delightful ditty. If the plans of Bill Haber come to fruition, there's no reason why he shouldn't. He's just enjoyed a hit with the Mark and Wise show, The Play What I Wrote. And he is planning to produce a version of Monty Python, which will recreate some of the best-known sketches using young American actors. Fred Coppersmith joins us now. He's been a Monty Python fan for a long time. Are you hysterical and can't wait for this show to appear on Broadway, Fred?
Well, it's a very interesting idea. Yeah, it's an unusual idea, and I'd definitely go see it if I if I could.
There's a sort of a difficulty here, isn't there? Because the characters are so associated with the original Pythons.
I think so. Yeah, I mean, it is a little strange that they would that they're going to use American actors, and certainly. I think there's a danger of just sort of it being kind of a repackaged greatest hits of Python, mm-hmm. but it certainly is an interesting idea.
Yeah, I mean have you seen them? I mean, did you see them at the Hollywood Bowl or somewhere like that?
No, I was only born in 1977, so I wasn't old enough to go see them live.
But you would have done if you could have.
If I could have, definitely, and I think this would be much more interesting. If it were the actual Pythons themselves, but I think any chance of that has sort of evaporated.
Yeah, yeah. What would you, I mean, if you were writing a show like this, what would you say you had to get into it?
Well, for American audiences, I think you'd have to reference Holy Grail, just because that's what most people are familiar with. So if it was going to be on Broadway, it would have to reference Holy Grail. But I think also Dead Parrot, Lumberjack, you know, Ministry of Silly Walks, it would end up being just, you know, kind of a greatest hits show, you know, just a review of Python.
Fred, thanks very much. Well, we're joined also by the culture vulture Martin Lewis, who produced The Secret Policeman's Ball and knows the Pythons well. Hello, Martin.
Hello. Could you change culture vulture to Renaissance man,
please? Oh, excuse me. Right. No problem. Do you think that this idea is going to fly?
Well, pythons slither rather than fly. I'm not entirely sure. The charm of the pythons has always been not just the material, of course, but the delight in seeing them perform. And that was the case from the earliest days when they took the material from the TV show and went on the road. I think it was 1972 when they first did their stage performances. And I remember Cleese saying at the time that he was surprised that it was like a rock concert, where people didn't mind that they knew the material, quite the reverse. They wanted to actually chant along with the sketches. But seeing other people do the sketches is a different thing. Now, they've tried it before, for example, with Beyond the Fringe, and the material, of course, is extremely funny, but when you see other people do it, not that they don't laugh at the sketches, but there's some of the charm is gone. It's like hearing Bob Dylan's song sung by somebody else. It's interesting, but it's not the same as Bob Dylan doing it himself. And I'm not sure if the Pythons performed by other people will have quite the same charm.
Mm-hmm. And do you think it would hang together, or do you think it's just going to end up as a sketch show?
Well, any time that you've got a director of the caliber of Mike Nichols, you're going to get something very special. First of all, this could not be happening without the sanction of the Pythons, and that's very clear, because they own all their own material, mm-hmm. and they would not give the rights to this to happen unless they were happy. Mike Nichols, of course, is not just a great director. He was a great writer and performer in his own right, yeah. with Elaine May in the early 60s, and he's somebody that the Pythons have a lot of respect for. So the notion of Mike Nichols, he would wouldn't just be doing the equivalent of an end-of-peer review, just putting on the greatest hits. I believe he'd be adding a twist to it. But how satisfying it'll be to have other people do that material remains to be seen. It would certainly be of good caliber, but I think that the performances are so tied up. I think also, if they'd just been seen once or twice, then you wouldn't be so involved in the performer with the material. But because we've seen those sketches so many times and they hold up so well, I think seeing and hearing different voices and different faces doing the material may be a little difficult for people.
I just wonder how the Pythons would have been about relinquishing control. I mean, particularly somebody like John Cleese, you know, who's a producer in his own right.
Well, they don't regard it as the Holy Grail for themselves, but they have nonetheless been very careful to make sure that the material doesn't get suddenly turned into TV commercials, for example. I myself did produce something using their material for some other with some other people, and I had to get their permission to do it. This was at the time of their 30th anniversary, and the BBC put on a magnificent TV special celebrating 30 years of Python, and I went to the chaps who made the South Park TV show and got them to do their version of the dead parrot sketch. But I had to get the Pythons' permission. Now, as it happens, the Pythons said go ahead because they were all big fans of South Park. But it has to be in the right hands. And I think that they would trust somebody of the caliber of Mike Nichols to bring a twist to it that would make it acceptable to them.
Yeah, I mean, knowing what you know, do you think it was a Mike Nichols name that would have swung this deal, or would Bill have enough clout now, given that he had a success, at least a critical success, with the play What I Wrote?
Well, I think that they would, things in the Python world do not happen instantly. Any one member can veto a project, so it takes a little bit of time for it to filter through. And I suspect that there was a lot of conversations back and forth, and I'm sure that Mike Nichols' name carried some weight. Incidentally, I mean, there have been one or two occasions where individual Pythons have gone out on their own doing Python material, notably Eric Idle. He did that in 99 and 2000. He went out with a show called Eric Idle Exploits Monty Python, which at the time Michael Palin said, well, you have to give Eric something. It's a very honest title. And Eric was doing a kind of solo show, but it was a little bit like if Ringo had gone out and done Beatles songs and billed himself as Ringo Starr Exploits the Beatles. It would leave a kind of strange taste in the mouth. And while Eric doing his solo turns was enjoyable, when Eric started doing Python sketches, you could feel that the audience was kind of taking a little strange because it wasn't the regular faces up there.
Yeah, yeah. You just gave me a whole wonderful fantasy about, you know, Ringo plays the Beatles and they fade up She Loves Me or something, and then they fade it down and Ringo's just left on stage playing the drum part.
Well, you see, now that would be good if they turned it into a karaoke thing, Rod, and they could, you could get up there and sing with them. Now, of course, Paul McCartney does go out there and he plays Beatles songs, but he plays the ones that he wrote, and therefore an audience finds that okay.
Yeah.
But they'd find it a little odd if he was doing all of John or all of George's songs and styling it as the Beatles. So I think that with the Pythons, when you hear those sketches, I mean, the cheese shop sketch and the dead parrot, we're so used to the nuances of Cleese and Palin and all those character voices that it might be more of a novelty hearing other people doing those sketches. So it depends really what they surround the sketches with.
Well, look, Michael, thank you very much, Martin. I'm gonna just turn back to Fred Coppersmith for a last shot and wonder if we've managed to put you off, Fred, or would you still put your hand in your pocket and fly to New York?
No, I'd still go. It has the potential to be very interesting. It also has the potential to be, as Martin says, you know, very strange and off-putting. But I would definitely go and see it.
Good enough. Okay, thank you both. And we'll see what happens with this project. It's one of these things, you know, you talk about something like this and forget it for a couple of years, and then suddenly it blossoms like a wonderful flower.